Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad that you could join us this day. We are, as Pastor Bob mentioned last Sunday, doing a short little sermon series as we're reflecting on some of our songs and hymns that we enjoy singing as a congregation. So today we're going to be reflecting on the song Death Was Arrested, which we'll be singing then after the sermon. I invite you to stand as we begin our service, as we always do, beginning in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. Heavenly Father, thank you to have brought us here this day, and I pray that you would guide us, that we would set aside anything else that might distract us or hinder our focus, and help us to just be present with you, listening to your word, your will, and your ways. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You'll see Pastor Josh and I switching around a little bit this morning. He's going to be playing the drums, and so that's why I'm up here. And it's my pleasure to confess our sins together with you this morning. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please remain standing as we sing How Great Thou Art.
I see the sun. I'm Jeff Rabe, one of your elders here at St. Mark's, and all I can say this morning is I think summer's here, in a big way. The first scripture reading this morning is from Romans chapter 6, verses 4 to 11. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
And the scripture reading this morning for the sermon comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also, were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Thus concludes our scripture readings this morning, and I think that Mrs. Caston is here to speak with the children. Is Mrs. Caston here?
I am here.
Oh, here she comes.
But I'm having a hard time getting out. I've got this huge burden to carry. Where are all the kids? Okay, sit down there where you usually do. That's working out great. Yeah, look at you guys. Come on down. I know, it's so good to see you. Do you see my heavy load today? Oh my goodness, what am I carrying? I have my sin. Do you know that word? Oh my goodness, my sin is so heavy. It's so hard to do it, to carry it all the time, right? So I'm just gonna take it off if you don't mind, so I can talk to you guys. Do you hear that? Whew, man, that is a lot. So I wanna ask you guys a question today. So sin is not a word we talk about a lot, but it is in the Bible a lot, so it's important to understand what it is, right? We want to understand the Bible. So what does the word sin mean? What does that mean? Doing some bad things. What else? The exact thing Jesus told us not to. And then not even obeying the commandments. These are all excellent answers. And what else, Liam? What is sin? Oh, you did. That's okay. You'll remember soon. Okay, so that's right. So we know that it's not doing what God wants us to do, right? So here's my question for you. Do you sin? Raise your hand if you sin. Okay, a few of you sin. So that makes you what? A sinner. Yikes. I'm a sinner too. How about these guys? Anybody out there a sinner? Oh, how many? All of them. All of them. All of us. So we want to talk about what helps us when we sin. How can we get away from that sin, right? Did you hear what the scripture said today? We are free from sin if we love Jesus. And yet, I started thinking about some things that I did, sins when I was your age, and that I probably still do today, but things that you could relate to. Like I might have told a lie when I was your age. I'm sure I did. I know I did. Did you ever tell a lie? Yes? You are an honest group. Okay, I like that. I was expecting no way. I know, I have told lies before too. And when I was little, I might have even said mean words, right? To my mom, and I didn't honor her, or to my family or my friends, right? What about I hit my sister a lot? That was a lot. So, you don't have one? Okay, well, sisters are hard sometimes. So I did. I hit her a lot. So I'm kind of this dirty, rotten sinner. It's pretty sad. But I have good news for you. This is the most important part of the story today, right? Because we know Jesus, because we've been baptized, because we try our very best to follow his commands, we are transformed. That's another word you don't hear a lot, right? We are transformed. And what does that mean? What does that mean to be transformed? What does it mean, Liam? Oh, yeah, that's good. And changed. We are changed. So I have something to show you. I brought my little bag here of goodies inside my bag of sins. And so there's water, right? There's flour. You see that? And there's a secret ingredient that makes it all do exactly what it should. Yeast. And it only takes these three things. I can put them together, and that's right. I make bread. So this water, flour, and yeast are transformed into bread. Can I make the bread flour again? No. Can I make it water again? Can I make it just yeast? I can't transform it back. Once it's transformed, it is changed forever. So think about this. I'm gonna have three ingredients. You, water, and the Holy Spirit. And you are transformed because of your baptism in water and the work that the Holy Spirit does in your heart. So can you go back? As long as you love Jesus, you will never, ever, ever go back. Right? Can you agree with that? Okay. So guess what I get to do today? Because I am transformed, because I love Jesus, because I'm baptized, and I follow him the best I can, these sins don't matter, do they? They matter. But these sins are what? What's another big word? And you know this word. My sins are forgiven. All right, raise your hands if your sins are forgiven. I know. How awesome is that? That is the best news ever. Our sins are forgiven because we are transformed. So think about other things that are transformed, like a caterpillar to a butterfly. Can a butterfly go back to a caterpillar? No. How about a cucumber to a pickle? Can a pickle go back to just being a boring old cucumber? No. Isn't that cool? We can think about all those changes. And those are the changes in our heart, too. Okay. So there was a time where a lady did a children's message here, and I never, ever forgot it. And she said, because we love Jesus, he stands in our place in front of God. So if we do something wrong, God doesn't see that sin. He sees his perfect son, Jesus. So you always, always, always want to love Jesus, pray to Jesus, know that he is the person who is your best friend and going to stand in your place. So you ready to pray? Are you ready? Okay. Let's fold our hands. Dear Jesus, we love you. We are sorry for our sin. Please transform us every day. Make us more like you. Amen. All right. Thanks for listening today.
All right. Well, I now invite kids ages 4 to 4th grade. If you want to go to a little worship with the permission of your parents, you can go meet at the cross in the back there, and they will go on to little worship. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God and Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a man who had a son, and this man loved this son more than anything. When the son was little, he would pick him up and kind of give him a hug, a squeeze, a rock, just to kind of comfort him. And most nights he would rock his son to sleep. As the son grew older, he would go on to teach his son how to throw and catch a ball and how to fish and how to play chess. Any numerous things, everything that he wanted his son to learn, he invested in. But as time went on, his son eventually got to an age where he desired things. And while his father, the man, was very well off, could have afforded just about anything that he could have wanted, he wanted good things for his son. So one time when his son asked, "Hey, can I have this pack of gum?" The father was like, "No, I don't want that for you. I'm not going to give that to you." But the son was really willful. So he decided, you know what, I want this pack of gum. So while his father was checking out with the rest of the groceries, he pocketed that pack of gum. He waited until he got home when he was in his room and ate all of the pieces in one setting. Well, having been convinced that he got away with that, he decided that, you know, what else do I want that my father is withholding from me? He saw a skateboard that someone just left out and decided, you know, I want that. He saw a bike. He had a fine enough bike, but this bike was nice. Had like 50 speeds, if that's even a thing, and stole it. But then he had to realize, wait, what do? I don't want my dad to see what I've done. So he had to hide away these things that he had stolen. In time, they corroded and they were really no good anymore. And up the things that he stole. By the time he finally got off on his own, it's not a surprise that he ended up getting mixed up with the wrong crowd and ended up actually working for a mob boss. Of course, it starts small, kind of stealing relatively small things, a car, motorcycle. Eventually, that grew into extortion, money laundering, and doing not so nice things to all manner of other people. In fact, if you looked at how the man was raising his son from the beginning to where it went, you would be shocked that that was the outcome. And yet, so it was. In time, eventually, all that the son had done caught up with him, and the state was prosecuted him and determined that he was going to be put to death. And so, in the particular country where this was taking place, they had an older form of execution, getting a big axe, as it were. And so they put a bag over the son's head and got him down the spot and asked him, "Do you have any last words?" And the son just shook his head no, because he realized that moment all the wrong things that he had done, knowing that he was fully guilty of what was about to take place was entirely on account of what he had done. And as he braced himself for the inevitable, he starts to hear some muffled voices in the background, continuing to brace himself all the more, and then but he realized he wasn't dead. I was a bit confused by this, and the bag was taken off of his head, and on the ground, unfortunately, actually is the man. See, what happened was that the man was, again, very well off and had worked with the mob boss to pay off any debt that his son might have had to the mob boss. But the reality is that all that he had done, he was still deserving of death. And so the man took upon himself the death that his son deserved. And the son was free to go. Now, the reason why I've told you this story is it's a bit kind of like that which God has done for us. For the reality is that we were alone in our sorrows. We were dead in our sin. We were lost without hope, with no place to begin. But God's love made a way to let mercy come in when death was arrested and our life began. We were released from our chains. We were prisoners no more. Our shame was a ransom God faithfully bore. He canceled our debts and he called us his friend when death was arrested and our life began. God's grace so free washes over us. God has made us new. Now life begins with him. It's God's endless love pouring down on us. God has made us new. Now life begins with him. Or Paul says it in this way. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Because you see, God is life. It is by God breathing life into Adam and Eve and creating life, and not just life in the sense of, but life in the sense of that which is good, that which is promoting of the well-being of others. And that is God's will and desire, that what his will is life. And yet man, in our sinfulness and our selfishness and our own self-interests, we propagate death. The things we do out of our own self-interests only lead to the death of other people and the death of ourselves, cutting deep scars into us of death. Every time we take for ourselves that which seems good in our own eyes. And because of the death which we enact in our sin every day, a slave to our sin, a slave to our own death, it was necessary that death be paid. And yet it was Jesus who paid that death on the cross for our benefit, that we might be free from the slavery of sin and the slavery of the death which we otherwise would do. Paul continues, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace, the free gift of righteousness, reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ. What I mean is this, is that because Jesus died, you have been set free. Free forever, you are free. Because otherwise, you would not be able to do anything good, anything life-giving, anything that is supporting for the needs of others. But you would be blinded, like one set only focused upon that which you are lacking. Saying, yes, this is what I have, but I want and desire more, and if I don't get it for myself, then I will not have it. And that is death. Yet God has sent us the Holy Spirit that we might live with life, that we might be free from our prison. So we rejoice this day that death has been arrested and our life has begun. That we are free to follow the will of God, which is life, and to promote the well-being of others. That we are free from the bondage of slavery that otherwise would entrap us and snare us and keep us held down. But that we can breathe the breath of life which God gives to us daily. Amen.
redeemed, only beauty remains.
At this time, I'd ask that you please stand as we confess together our faith in the words of the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, He daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and to all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. And this morning, we have quite a list of prayer requests. I'm going to describe those to you, and then we'll go to the Lord together in prayer. We pray for the family of a good friend of Lewis Johnson at the death of Desmond Kittleson Sr. Especially we pray for his son, Desmond Jr. We pray for Betty McMullen and her family. She has some health complications right now with a good prognosis. We're going to keep her and the family in our prayers. For Jeff Wunderlich, current and upcoming procedures. For Ed Ployer with continued heart issues. Pray for his doctor and medical team that they can iron out a treatment plan for him. For Betty Hogg for cancer treatments, and Randy Veland as well for continued cancer treatments. And we pray for remission for these two. And for Kevin Rose awaiting a heart transplant. When I read that, I was in shock. I know cognitively that heart transplants are possible, but it really is a marvel at the miracles that God can accomplish through skilled hands. So we pray for all of those hands that do that work. We also pray this morning for Pastor Bob and Janine. They are traveling for Janine's nephew's wedding, Kyle. He was joined together in holy matrimony yesterday. So we pray for that young man, his wife, and their family, and especially for Pastor Bob and Jean as they travel home this weekend. Father God, you are the almighty physician. We pray for your healing hand through the skills of others in the medical professions and helpers who find cures for these illnesses. We trust that through sickness, you are with us always, and as we also watch our loved ones suffer with these illnesses, give us the strength to remain faithful and to support. And hear our prayers today as we pray for the family of Desmond Kittleson Sr. at his death. Give them the comfort and peace that only you can give. We pray for Betty, these continued health complications, thinks that her prognosis is positive. Help her to get home and comfortable as soon as possible. We pray for Jeff. May anything going on with his feet and his toe be complication-free so that he can recover quickly. We pray for Ed Ployer. Thank you for some of the successes he's already had in treatment in the last weeks, and continue that progress with him, please. We pray for Betty and Randy with these cancer treatments. We know that sometimes the complications and the symptoms of the medicine is almost worse or can even be worse than the symptoms of the cancer. So we pray for comfort during those painful and often uncomfortable treatments. May remission be achieved quickly. We also pray for Kevin Rose. Thank you that medicine can do what it can do. We know that you are the creator of all, including human bodies, as complex as they are. You understand everything about them, even though we only understand a small percentage. But thank you that you've given wisdom and knowledge to human beings to be able to do what we can with medicine. We also pray for Bob and Janine as they travel. Give them safe travel, and that young new couple, give them success in their marriage so that they may be honor and glorify you through that commitment. May it be only a representation on earth of what you give us, Jesus, and your relationship, your bride, the church. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name, and we pray as you've taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
It's been a pleasure worshiping with you all this morning. Please have a seat, and then Pastor Josh is going to have a few announcements for you.
All right. Well, thank you again so much for joining us in worship this day. A couple quick things. One, we have no kids Sunday school today because there was some miscommunication with the waxing of the floors, and so that's inhibiting us getting to the rooms that are already prepared for Sunday school. But we will have our adult Bible class here in the worship center if you're interested in attending that. And then lastly, we are still taking donations for diapers and wipes through next week. June 29th. It's going to go to a Christian pregnancy center in the area. And so if you're interested in supporting that, we got one more week of collecting for that. Otherwise, I pray you have a blessed week. Stay cool. God's be with you. Amen.